The Afterlife podcast employs dark humor and frank language. It is intended for a mature audience. You are listening to the Afterlife Podcast. Thank you for joining me for episode 17, Careless Whisper. What's your policy on the truth? Do you believe in the validity of half a truth? What about half the truth? When you assume it doesn't matter, do you take the extra time it would take to explain something trivial, or do you just slide out an easy lie? Yeah. I sent the check. It's in the mail. Yeah. Note to self. Send the check. You mean well. You'll make it true when you mail the check, right? It is the truth, just a little out of alignment with the current time, that's all. Say you mailed the check today, put the check in the mail tomorrow. Essentially, the result is the same. Every detail doesn't matter. But what if it does matter? Because it might matter, perhaps not to you, but it might if you knew what someone else knows. Now just what the fuck am I getting at? Find out in episode 17 of the Afterlife Podcast. Visit TarynMaximilianDefoe.com/carelesswhisper to comment and talk about the truth or half the truth. A half-truth, or how people just straight up lie like a showroom full of rugs. How about that? Now, for the Afterlife Podcast, episode 17, Careless Whisper, where the dead dance, a dead man walks, and Karen, orbited by Richard, mingles amongst Cassandra's party guests and the Leventhal family ghosts. Unsavory characters bask in the spotlight. Misanthropes lurk in the shadows, and worlds collide as Richard makes Karen another offer she can't refuse. Unseen, Jimmy stood at the mezzanine level of Cassandra's living room, surveying the party scene below. His stance was wide. He could feel his fingers resting on his dick through the thin material lining the insides of his trouser pocket. The party was clearly in its beginnings, but it looked promising. The forever after elegant Mrs. Leventhal ditched Jimmy to rendezvous with Cassandra, leaving him to himself, invisible and out of context, again. On the floor below, an attractive, edgy-looking woman with dark hair strode into view, holding a champagne flute and a lowball of scotch. Her face looked familiar, but she was far too young a person for Jimmy to have ever seen when he'd been awake and running the streets. She was absolutely stunning. He'd seen her on a billboard, probably, but her friend. She'd have been right up Jimmy's alley. She was just the type of woman Jimmy dated when he needed to feel good about himself. An impressive-looking woman who was herself easily impressed. Usually shallow, and more often than not, not very bright, but always colorful. Never boring, though definitely tiresome night after night. Women like her were demanding only of material things. He could do and say whatever he wanted. There were no rules there. As long as he put out the cash, he could act like a complete degenerate, and had. And women like her would put up with it. If he behaved especially badly, he could just send her flowers, even cheap ones would do, and promise to buy her something Instagram-worthy for her trouble. Usually, these were short, intense relationships he would instigate after getting dumped, or worse, ignored, by someone with whom he'd hoped for a serious relationship. It was a pattern. He'd get dumped, then want someone else to abuse and treat like trash for a while. Jimmy followed the material girl with his eyes. She'd come in with a stunning dark-haired woman, but if they were together, the woman with the dark hair wanted her space. Perhaps they weren't friends after all. The floozy paraded around the room, taking special care to walk extra slowly by any men she passed, and staring them boldly in the face with bedroom eyes if they noticed her biting into their energy with her hungry looks and overly ambitious pursuits of fashion. She gave the younger women at the party a voracious up and down, but avoided eye contact. Nasty. When she walked past a woman seated on the armrest of a small sofa, having a conversation with another party guest, the woman abruptly stood up and moved her conversation, as if there were a sudden, avoidable, unpleasant smell, away. From his position above, Jimmy watched a middle-aged man, with sunburn, slinking from shadow to shadow, moving stealthily through the fray. He was clearly up to something. To anyone looking at him straight on, he wouldn't appear suspicious, but from Jimmy's point of view, he was casing the joint. What was he planning? As if in answer to Jimmy's question, the man moved to a position against the wall directly below the tips of Jimmy's patent leather shod feet. The sunburned party guest put his hands into his pockets and pulled something out of one of his pockets that Jimmy couldn't see until the man opened his palm flat. Pills. Jimmy was surprised when the man didn't eat the pills or put them back in his pocket, but, rationalized Jimmy, maybe the guy needed something to drink. Older people sometimes had problems swallowing pills. The man, oblivious to Jimmy, looked around the room for a while as Jimmy had, scoping out the scene. Jimmy tried to see who the old guy was looking at. He and Jimmy had been looking at the same thing. Richard. Richard caught up with Karen at the bar outside on the patio with a view of the pool in the distance. A guest house, a cabana, and a sophisticated adult-sized treehouse fitted with swings. Karen tried to pick out the details on a gazebo in the distance. She felt Richard approaching, but hoped to somehow avoid interacting.
"What's up, Karen?"
asked Richard, trying to sound sexy by speaking softly. Karen rolled her eyes. "I'm waiting for the bartender to give me my drink. That's what's up," she sighed.
"He went to get more champagne."
"Here, you can have this," proffered Richard, shoving the champagne glass full of pale bubbles toward Karen. Not reaching for it, Karen looked at the glass doubtfully. "Whose is it?"
"It's mine. I just brought it from over there. But you can have it. I'm already tipsy from what we had before. You know I'm a lightweight."
Karen did know. Richard rarely drank, and when she did, it was purely honorary. Karen narrowed her eyes. Something about Richard's eagerness in offering it up made Karen suspicious because, presumably, Richard had gotten the glass of champagne to drink it herself. There were hundreds of people here, and all the bars inside the house and on the patio were crowded.
Why would she go through the trouble just to give it away?
And to me?
"Nah, I'll wait." Karen, cotton-mouthed from the weed she'd smoked in a secluded area of the backyard with another party guest, eyed the tiny bubbles with great thirst as they fought their way to the surface of Les Jeux des Femmes Riches.
"Are you sure you don't want it?"
"Yeah, I'm sure. You can have it."
And just like that, Richard handed her used-to-be best friend a glass of roofied champagne. Karen downed the glass and licked her lips. Really good champagne, far better than the brand she had at home. And her house brand wasn't grocery store stuff either. The professional pianist, or someone just as good, played the intro to Careless Whisper on a pale pink piano between the living room and an outdoor terrace facing the backyard. Karen made her way to the dance floor. Jimmy Jennings leaned against the piano, watching the scene at the bar. The stunner in the black outfit was heading his way. Her associate stood at the bar, next to an empty champagne glass, curiously looking into it as though it had something to say. Jimmy turned his attention back to the stunner. She was looking at him, dead in his face, smiling. She wanted to dance. With him.
Karen and Jimmy didn't need to speak. Her smile and his opening arms were the question and the answer. They danced to Careless Whisper. Jimmy belted out the last words to the verse. Karen pulled back gently but abruptly to look at Jimmy, impressed. She'd heard him. Jimmy knew he had a great voice. Before his accident, he'd been the front man in a boy band, briefly. The band was good and had even gotten signed to an imprint on a major label. But after they'd recorded their first album, there were some executive rearrangements at the record company. The rep handling Jimmy's band had gotten the sack. The label was uncharacteristically generous in giving the band all their tracks back. The drummer's dad was in the mafia. When the band had first asked to buy back the songs they'd written, songs that hadn't been released and by the looks of things weren't going to be, the record label hadn't even bothered to return their calls. After about a week of that, the drummer had called his dad and complained, and they'd been given back their masters, including a few songs the label had paid for that the band hadn't ever recorded. But for all that trouble, nothing happened for the band after they got dropped. And then Jimmy had fallen on his head trying to take a selfie on the steps of a private jet and nearly killed himself. Nearly. Of all the times he'd lived recklessly and thought he'd die, he never imagined that he would end his whole world with an ill-timed selfie. The song was ending. Karen smiled up at Jimmy. Her cheeks were rosy. He was sure that she was alive and real. Why was she seeing him? And what did she look like right now to other people in the room? Did she look like she was gazing into nothing? Smiling at thin air? Fuck it. Why should he care? The song ended. Karen took a small step backward out of Jimmy's embrace, but before either of them could say anything, the pianist, who was actually the rapist, Karen noticed, had started the intro to the next song. Karen's favorite song of all time, Kissing a Fool. Once again, Karen and Jimmy moved together in a light embrace, and in a voice not unlike Justin Timberlake's. Jimmy Jennings lowered his head to Karen's ear and softly serenaded her. He felt her melt in his arms. A tidal wave of dopamine washed away Karen's brain as Jimmy's tender riffs tickled the bones in her ears, sending good feels through her emotional veins. Jimmy crooned. Moments stretched into miles for Karen. Jimmy felt a sudden heat in his arms. His dance partner's face looked inflamed. Her face and her entire back were drenched in sweat. She didn't look good. Karen saw the distress in Jimmy's eyes as she lost consciousness. Jimmy caught Karen's limp body in his arms and gently cradled her to the ground. A party guest who saw her falling let off a blood-curdling scream. Half the party guests in the room receded. The other half moved into the space to see what was going on and how they could be of assistance. Jimmy covered Karen's convulsing body with his jacket. He held her. It would be pointless trying to run for help. Nobody could see or hear him who could do anything save the woman helpless in his arms. He instantly wished he had gotten her name. "Listen," Jimmy said, holding one of her hands in his. "You've got to know that you're going to be okay," he commanded. Karen nodded her head. She seemed to understand. Jimmy wished that he could be the one to guide her through whatever was next if she died. And if he was honest, it looked like she was likely going to at this rate. Whatever was taking her over was happening fast. Richard clawed her way through the tightening crowd.
"An ambulance is on the way!"
a voice yelled from someplace Jimmy couldn't see.
"Oh my God! No!" gasped Richard, truly horrified. "That's my friend! Move out of my way!"
She got down on her knees next to Karen and took up the clenched fist that was nearest. Karen struggled to focus on anything. She fought to maintain control. Karen's intuitive mind solved the mystery and screamed. Richard shook Karen's clammy hand. She turned Karen's face gently toward her own, with hands that trembled. Her voice was strained and high.
Karen! Karen! Say something!
Karen didn't want to pull her eyes away from Jimmy's, but there was one last piece of business that if she was dying, and she was sure that's what was happening, she needed to put in order. With every fiber of her will, Karen shifted her gaze to look Richard directly in the eyes.
"What was in that champagne you gave me?" demanded Karen, but it came out sounding more like champagne.
Richard collapsed into sobs.
"I don't know. I don't know,"
she cried, tears and snot running down her face.
"A man handed it to me at the bar. I mean, I didn't want it, so I gave it to you."
If Karen hadn't been fighting to keep her focus on Richard's face, she would have rolled her eyes. Karen shuddered. Richard lifted Karen's hand to her own cheek. Karen patted Richard's face gently, just one time. If she'd had more strength, she'd have slapped the shit out of Richard, with the back of her hand, preferably. "You're not a ride or die bitch," murmured Karen, but it sounded more like... Richard looked into Karen's eyes and cried pitifully. With the dreamy expression of a baby teetering on the edge of slumber, Karen touched her fingertip to the tip of Richard's nose. Richard drew her face closer to Karen's to hear the whole truth. With the tenderness of a lover, in a voice as soft as butter, Karen put her lips to Richard's ear and into it breathed, "You're just a basic bitch." The paramedics arrived and muscled Richard out of the way, but it was too late. With a cerulean blue Tom Ford tuxedo wrapped around her for warmth, and the ghostly arms of Jimmy Jennings wrapped around her for comfort, Karen, at the tender age of 36, died. Thank you for joining me for episode 17 of the Afterlife Podcast, Careless Whisper. The song you're listening to is Rich Man in the Sky by Otis McDonald. The Afterlife Podcast is serialized paranormal fiction based on the book Afterlife, written by me, your host, Maximilian Defoe! Available on Amazon. Visit TarynMaximilianDefoe.com/carelesswhisper. Sign in with Facebook and whisper away. I'm all ears. Did you like this episode? Yeah? Yeah! Tap the link in the description of this podcast to leave me a review on iTunes. Your 5-star review entices other listeners who might be on the fence about whether or not to, like, even give me a try to go on and subscribe. You know, like attracts like. More subscriptions means more listeners, and more listeners is a signal to me to keep doing what I'm doing. If you'd like to take your support a step further, visit patreon.com/Maximilian, 2 X's, 2 L's, where you can slide me a greenback or two and pick up a digital goodie from me to you as a thank you for your support. Did you know that I have more than one fiction podcast? Did you know I've more than two? It's true. I have 3. So much more is coming, and it's coming for you. Take a peek and help if you can. Links to every place you can find me in the description of this episode. I would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.